Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.
And I'm Lucy Pony, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, December 18th, 2014. Peace talks resume in Addis, but will they lead to a peace deal?
The region and the entire world have been observing that the cessation of hostilities agreement has never been implemented.
And South Sudan's government reacts to the European Union's call for an international arms embargo on South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
As South Sudanese mark the one-year anniversary of the deadly conflict this week, peace talks have resumed in Ethiopia. The fighting broke out at the Qiyada barracks in Juba. Nearly 2 million people have fled their homes and thousands of people have been killed. It's impossible to know how many. For VOA, Marta van der Wolf reports from Addis Ababa on the intensive regional mediation effort that has yet to produce any concrete results.
The East African bloc IGAD is once again mediating peace talks between South Sudan's government and the opposition. To ensure broad support for the outcomes of the peace talks, former political detainees, faith-based groups, and civil society organizations are once again part of the negotiations. The immediate focus is a sustainable truce. At least 4 other ceasefire deals in the past year have been virtually ignored. Ambassador Tewolde Gebremeskel is with the IGAD delegation.
The region and the entire world have been observing that the cessation of hostilities agreement has never been implemented, and as a result, conflict still rages and the specter of humanitarian catastrophe looms large due to the fact that the warring parties did not honor their commitments and recommitments to stop the violent conflict.
This round of negotiations will also attempt to tackle the thorny political issue of the formation of a transitional government of national unity. The crisis in South Sudan began a year ago, when a political dispute between President Salva Kiir and his then-deputy Riek Machar spiraled into an inter-ethnic conflict that has divided factions of the ruling party against each other. Machar supporters held a consultative meeting last week in Pagak, on the border of South Sudan and Ethiopia, to draft their position going into this new round of talks. General Taban Dengai, the lead negotiator for the opposition, outlined their vision for a transitional government.
We must have an executive, prime minister, and executive president. Count that as one. Number two, you have a structure of leadership of president, prime minister, and council of ministers. You have federation of 21 states. You have 2 armies and compensation and reparation.
South Sudan now only has a president and the country is divided in 10 states. The war has displaced more than 2 million people and killed possibly tens of thousands more. The United Nations says at least half the country is at risk of hunger and disease. The United Nations Security Council has threatened several times to impose sanctions if no lasting agreement is reached. But so far, no sanctions have been imposed. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Meanwhile, the South Sudan ruling SPLM party today has resumed intra-party dialogue in the Tanzanian town of Arusha. Officials say the talks have brought together leaders from 3 different factions of the party. SPLM broke apart after a political disagreement between President Salva Kiir and his former vice president, Riek Machar, fueling the deadly conflict that spread across the country and continues today. Wake Simon Udu has this report for VOA from Juba.
Atene Wake Atene, spokesperson in the office of the President Salva Kiir, announced at a Juba news conference today that intra-party talks have resumed in Arusha. He says senior SPLM member Daniel Awet is leading Mr. Kiir's delegation.
The agenda focuses on the reunification of the SPLM. It's purely political how they will structure their leadership and when they should actually go for a national convention, so that they can determine, you know, their leadership. These are the things that they have to discuss, and not more than the party agenda.
Aside from officials with the President Kiir's SPLM party, the party Mr. Kiir chairs, representatives from both the SPLM in opposition, headed by Machar, and a faction of former political detainees led by former SPLM party Secretary General Pagan Amum, are attending the talks in Arusha. The groups first met in October in Arusha following an invitation from the Tanzanian ruling party, Chama cha Mapinduzi. Attorney says the intent was to reunite the SPLM.
Office of the President would like to appeal for understanding and support from those who have love for South Sudan, government and people, as well as those who wish South Sudan is a peaceful, prosperous and harmonious nation state.
The Arusha meeting is occurring simultaneously today with the resumption of peace talks between the South Sudan government and rebels in Addis Ababa. Attorney says today's meeting in Arusha is aimed at implementing a framework agreement reached by the three factions in October. In that deal, the parties agreed to commit themselves to dialogue as one party, the SPLM, and to seek peaceful means of sorting out their differences. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Udo from Juba.
South Sudan is reacting negatively to the European Union recommendation to impose an international arms embargo on Juba. Earlier this week, the EU called for an international embargo as a strategy to push the government and rebel leaders to end the conflict. The EU already has its own embargo against South Sudan, a holdover from an embargo placed on all of Sudan during the civil war. From Juba, Philip Thonaleu has this report for VOA.
The head of the EU delegation in Juba, Stefano De Loa, says the call for an international arms embargo is in the interest of South Sudanese people. However, Foreign Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin says the government has not increased weapons purchase since the fighting began and there is no basis for an arms embargo.
We believe it is ill-advised for people to speak of an arms embargo on the Republic of South Sudan, because we are not engaging, fighting any war with any country. But the sovereignty of this country has to be protected. It is a country which is facing rebellion, and it is the right of the government and the people of this country to be able to defend their territory.
The European Union foreign ministers called on the international community to consider the adoption of an arms embargo if necessary to help the peace process.
Stefano De Loa says the EU thinks collective action against South Sudan's leaders is necessary to end what he says is the suffering that has been inflicted on the South Sudanese people over the past year. He says the EU believes Juba is still buying more weapons and that these purchases need to be stopped so that the nation's resources can be directed to humanitarian needs such as medical supplies, clean water and food.
More arms, more violence. The less arms are in the country, the less violence is to be foreseen. What is important to say in this point is that these restrictive measures have to be taken only against those people or institutions that are creating obstacles to the negotiations or who are violating the cessation of hostilities. It's not a measure that has to be taken, but if necessary, if the peace process is not going on, notwithstanding the goodwill, something has to happen to stop violence.
In July, the EU imposed targeted sanctions on two military offices on both sides of the conflict. Foreign Minister Mariar says more sanctions are not possible. He spoke to reporters today at the airport as he returned from Moscow, where he delivered a letter from President Kiir to the Russian President Vladimir Putin. Mariar says South Sudan's government is getting international backing.
We discussed specifically the issue of sanctions, which is being talked about, and we were assured by the Russian Federation Minister of Foreign Affairs that Russia will not support any sanctions against the Republic of South Sudan. I think this is an important step that the Russian Federation has taken, and that they will also work hard to see that peace comes to the Republic of South Sudan.
As IGAD mediated talks resume today in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, Mariar says the government is committed to ending the fighting. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the South Sudan Youth Union gets new leadership. Stay tuned.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how has your family upbringing affected the way you behave?
Of course, when you go to background of the family, each kind of culture, especially for me, the way I was brought up, my father nurtured me the way until now is very much important. I was nurtured in the way that respect is the first, and honoring those ones who are the elder than you, you're supposed to respect them also.
Well, my mom is very strict, so I was not really allowed to go out much. Even up to now, if I go somewhere, like with my friends or something, by around 10, I want to be home. Because with my mom, my curfew was 4 p.m. So, I just got used to being home most of the time.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. East African nations are expecting South Sudan's refugee numbers to rise drastically in the coming year as more people flee violence and a deepening humanitarian crisis in the country. As VOA's Gabe Jaslow reports, from Kenya's top diplomat also says her country will keep pressure on South Sudan's political leaders to agree on a peace deal.
Humanitarian agencies say the number of South Sudanese seeking refuge in neighboring countries could rise to 821,000 people next year if a lasting peace is not achieved soon. The expected upsurge would add to more than 500,000 South Sudanese refugees already living in Ethiopia, Kenya, Sudan, and Uganda. United Nations agencies and NGOs working on the crisis launched an appeal Wednesday for more than $800 million to fund the refugee response in the host countries. The crisis in South Sudan began a year ago when a political dispute between the president and his deputy spiraled into an inter-ethnic conflict that has divided factions of the ruling party against one another. Negotiators from the warring sides are scheduled to meet in Addis Ababa this week to continue to work on a peace deal. The process has been uninspiring, as at least four past ceasefire agreements have all been violated. Kenya's Cabinet Secretary for Foreign Affairs, Amina Mohamed, speaking to reporters after the launch of the refugee response plan in Nairobi, said Kenya continues to have faith in the process.
So at the political level, we're doing everything that we can. And I can tell you that we've made a lot of progress, but we are not there yet. We've made progress on all the issues except for issues that relate to security and the governance structure.
Kenya is part of the IGAD group of nations mediating the talks. The group has threatened sanctions against South Sudan leaders from both sides of the conflict if they cannot abide by a lasting ceasefire deal. Meantime, Kenya is also considering a new security bill that would, among other things, cap the number of refugees allowed in Kenya at 150,000. Mohamed said she did not think the bill will have any effect on refugees in the country or the appeal for funding.
The bill is not yet through. It's just gone through its first reading in Parliament. It's still under active consideration and discussion. I don't think it has any bearing at all on the request that we've made to the international community today to support the refugees that are already in Kenya.
Kenya currently hosts more than 500,000 refugees, most of them from neighboring Somalia. Gabe Jaslow, VOA News, Nairobi.
About 700 South Sudanese in Nairobi, mainly from the Nuer community, gathered today to pay tribute to their loved ones killed when the fighting broke out. The community leaders reiterated their call for peace, justice and reconciliation in South Sudan. Matthew Jangdem is a pastor at the Presbyterian Church of the Sudan in Unity State and a Nuer community elder. He says he lost three of his relatives in Juba and had to hide under his bed for 3 days when the conflict broke out. He says it is unfortunate that the leaders have forgotten the suffering of their people by prolonging the talks in Addis. Jandem says the Nuer, whom he says were the first ones to be targeted during the violence, can only heal if
President Kim could make an apology that what happened in my leadership, it is a mistake. Forgive me, the Nuer may forgive. But with all that, it is a challenge. We call for the international community that there must be accountability. Who was killing the people in Juba? Those people should be identified and face the law. We don't have any problem with the Denka in general, but then we have a problem with Salva Kiir and his government.
Matthew Jangdem is a pastor in Unity State and a Nuer community elder. The chairperson for today's event, Ron Dor Billing, says memories of the brutal killings came alive for him as pictures of those killed were displayed on large screens at the Crisco Church in Uhuru Park.
We actually led the people through the evidence. People have been killed in Juba, children and women, and through a video projector, they have seen them. So people are emotionally crying because when they see those pictures, they cannot imagine that Kiir turned against them.
Ron Dor Billing was one of the organizers for today's event in Nairobi. Many South Sudanese from other tribes as well as sympathetic Kenyans also attended the event, as did James Gadet Dak, a member of the SPLM in opposition.
The South Sudan Youth Union this week announced plans to reform the organization following an official directive from the Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports last month. Union members hope the reform effort will mobilize support from key stakeholders ahead of an anticipated convention slated for next year. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Agel Ring, chairperson of the South Sudan Youth Union, says the reform effort came about after the union nearly collapsed due to poor leadership. Ring and four other union leaders met Tuesday with the officials of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement for Democratic Change, the lead opposition party in the country, to
get to hear their views in how we can carry out a mandate of trying to organize a convention for the National Youth Union of South Sudan.
Ring says the union is planning a youth convention next year in February, which is expected to draw some 600 delegates from across South Sudan's 10 states. The union's new leaders say they plan to approve a constitution at the meeting, something they say never happened under the old leadership. Ring and the other union leaders were appointed last month by the Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports, Nadia Arop, after she dissolved the previous union leadership. Ring says the youth union's consultations with SPLM-DC, SPLM, civil society organizations, church groups and other stakeholders will continue.
We are here for youth agenda, and anybody that can help us further the youth agenda, we are going to consult them.
Majub Biel, spokesperson for the SPLM-DC, says organizing South Sudan's youth is important for the future of the country.
We in SPLM-DC will make sure we support the youth union as it is talking about the unity of the people of South Sudan. We can be with them, stand with them in whatever they are doing.
The South Sudan Youth Union was established in 2011 by the South Sudanese Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports with the goal of empowering youth in the young country. Ring says the previous leaders made little progress in identifying the goals of the union or setting up its structure. The move to bring in new leadership came amid wider calls from several youth activist organizations for reforms that would help adopt government policies and provide facilities for the welfare of children and youth as spelled out in the country's transitional constitution. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Udo from Juba.
An unknown group of armed men, who reportedly appeared to be in some sort of military uniform, attacked the residential house of the Anglican Bishop of Yei Diocese in Central Equatoria State Tuesday night. Bishop Hilary Luet Adeba says the robbers stole 4,000 South Sudanese pounds, his car and other valuable items, including two computers. Luet says he reported the case to authorities the next morning, as his phone was also stolen. He says it's sad to think the chaos in South Sudan has come to this.
I don't think that there is any respect for church leaders in this country. There is any respect for bishops. Not necessarily me, maybe another bishop, maybe another community leader, maybe another citizen, maybe another somebody. So we are just living in that kind of situation. Honestly, this thing has painted a very dark picture on South Sudan. It has brought a very, very shameful, very embarrassing picture. And to me, I am particularly and personally very, very disappointed and very angry. Those are some of the things happening in this country, which is not very good.
The deputy mayor of Yei River County, Silvano Ali, told Radio Tamazight a group of suspects were arrested yesterday in Bungu village on the Juba Yei Road.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Lucy. Russian President Vladimir Putin said today he is confident the country's struggling economy will rebound within 2 years and that the ruble will stabilize after the currency's dramatic fall in value, but offered no new remedies for the crisis. At a three-hour end-of-year news conference, Mr. Putin said central bank and economic officials are making suitable and correct decisions to stabilize the value of the currency, even as the country's economy heads to a projected recession next year. He predicted better times ahead for Russia, just not immediately, even if world oil prices remain low or fall even more, cutting deeper into revenues from Moscow's key export. Chaos has broken out on the floor of Kenya's National Assembly as the chamber gathered to consider controversial security amendments that have divided lawmakers. Members of parliament came to blows several times today during the course of the final reading of the bill, which would grant sweeping authorization to security forces to arrest and detain terror suspects. The bill would also impose harsh punishments on media outlets and individuals distributing material deemed harmful to national security. And finally, local residents and officials in northeastern Nigeria say suspected members of the Boko Haram militant group have killed at least 32 people and kidnapped more than 100 others in a raid on the village of Gumsuri. The attack took place on Sunday, according to residents who fled to the city of Maiduguri, the capital of Borno State. News of the attack took several days to emerge because the area's mobile phone network was damaged in earlier attacks. Gumsuri is near the village of Chibok, where Boko Haram kidnapped more than 200 girls from a school in April. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
You're still listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. As the international community spent this week soberly reflecting on a year of deadly fighting in South Sudan, there was one bright spot in Juba this past weekend. 18-year-old Arech Aber from Upper Nile State was crowned Miss Malaika 2014-2015. She says she will use her victory to focus on vulnerable South Sudanese children and to promote girls' education. Mugume Davis Rakarinj has the report from Juba.
South Sudan's up-and-coming artist, Cash D, performed the song Beautiful Like Malaika to kick off the night's event at Nyakoron Culture Center. Minutes later, contestants were summoned on stage to formally introduce themselves. In typical beauty pageant fashion, they were quizzed by a panel of five judges about current events and what they would do if they emerged as the winner. One by one, the contestants stepped forward to provide the judges with what they hoped were sincere answers. Like this one from the eventual winner.
My name is Arech Abel. I'm 18 years old. I'm a student at Kaboja International School in Kampala. And I'm from the Upper Nile State. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We have questions. One question for you. Mention some of the natural resources in South Sudan.
Oil.
Yes.
We also have some vegetables like greens and all that. And also water like the Niles. Thank you.
But some candidates did not fare so well during this introduction and public presentation.
Good evening, contestant number three. How are you?
I'm fine, and you?
My name is Puka Yuel. Would you introduce yourself, please?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, George. I'm Sandra Ngering Peak. I'm 20 years old.
Thank you, Sandra.
I'm from Warabi State.
Question for you. Who is the Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports of the Republic of South Sudan?
The Minister of Youth, Culture and Sports. It's Luke. Marielle Benjamin.
Thank you.
The contestants, who impressed the judges with their answers, and others that left the crowd wondering who could not know the founding father of South Sudan. Over the years, some observers have said South Sudan's oldest beauty pageant has favored some tribes over others. But Lam Tungwar, the chairperson of South Sudan's Artists Association, which organizes Miss Malaika each year, insists the pageant adheres to strict rules and regulations.
You know, the only thing, you know, we should do to contribute to our country is by being honest. That is the best thing we can say. Lying or trying to cover up people is not the best way to go forward. We must be honest. Whoever have done their best deserve to win.
In another competition, the contestants showcase their traditional attires as well as modern fashion, all the while working the catwalk to the excitement of pageant fans like these young men.
I'm a cool lad. I'm happy to be here today, and I love the show. It brings unity, and it can take us somewhere that is better. That if we keep on doing this, then we will at least see the change in South Sudan.
I'm Nguyen William Deng, and it's my first time to have come and witness it. Actually, I'm excited about it. To me, I just see it as one of the instruments that bring people together. At least I'm seeing all South Sudanese being represented here. I'm seeing all tribes of South Sudanese, almost all of them are here. I'm quite happy about it.
But others, like Akat Malien, were not impressed.
I think there are other steps that are not followed well. Like, if we are to following the way the question were asked, it should be part of judgment. And I think somebody who failed the question should not take the position.
Arich Aber apparently did well enough on her answers to win the competition. The young beauty queen says she will work on campaigns that encourage girls to stay in school and help South Sudan's more vulnerable children.
3 days back, I went to the orphanage and I found out that those kids, even if we don't give them things, at least if we visit them, they become happy. So at least I would visit them or give them something almost every time I see them.
The winner of Miss Malaika is rewarded with a vehicle, among other prizes like a laptop. For VOA News, I am Mugume Devse Ruakarinj in Juba.
Ça, c'est le tube qui vous fait toujours plaisir.
That's our show for this Thursday. We leave you with the song Vita Imana by Fera Gola.
Junior Aziz, Jacques Mayito.
Salem Serviso, comme il parle, voyez. Au comité, son beau voyez. Nassimi Batouche, Potinana, Lina Kayo, Mingi. Na comico Vita, Baturka, Matina, Cartier, Nabino. Mamasta katia ba komiko tongo ngaina masolo sokina leki eba lobaka leki edit kilanda moko mawa aleki
presta peki
aleki mawa akekotala salem na baye pokwa nyoso na yakana kutaka na ngaka kayete
corps coordinateur
balobinga na tinga mayon pona Balobinga na tinga mayo pona mbongo salem Lobeno koni na ngosyo somela nga kome souvenir
Mavma vinga
Kolia na lia kasenga imoko Kolata pena la ta kasenga imoko
Lodi pires
Soki jipe minya teba mastatu alita chamala Nani mosusu Ozo kisi monte manangai papa Nini obebi sinzo tomo
Shiro chamala
Pona maloba ya kinsasa Jean-Jacques Mutuale
Transimbala
Shiro Pona songi songi ya kini wayo Tonino Fernando Oh mama
Basse lengi Jamila Tiro Piero Leblanc Mav Mavinga Chiba
We've been listening to the Congolese musician Feregola with the song Vita Imana. I'm Lucy Poney in Washington.
And I'm Nabil Biagio, also in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Serge Pachuti. Capresagola bibia papa. Yo moto la ki so aplique poli no me mingana sama molili mwenani nana. Ezali